You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
March the 20th, 2020, the Trump administration announcing a ban on all non-essential travel on the northern and southern borders. They're now saying that the Mexican and Canadian borders will be shut down to all non-essential travel. That ban will officially begin Saturday and last for a month at least. And of course, U.S. citizens are advised not to go abroad at this point. A new poll from ABC showing approval for President Trump's handling of the Chinese coronavirus outbreak. 55% of those surveyed think he's doing what is needed. That's up from last week, up 12 points from last week. And he continues to do great work. In the meantime, a study in France suggests that treating those patients with an anti-malarial medication and antibiotics might be a powerful, useful weapon in the battle against the coronavirus. And then do we need to look to a vaccine? And if we have a vaccine in advance, would you want your children taking it? I've got an expert coming up later in this hour that is against vaccines, especially for children. That's still to come. There's another report that is also showing from the American Journal of Gastroenterology that the early symptom of coronavirus might be in your digestive tract. Yes, the need for toilet paper. But they're saying that might be an early symptom, not a cough, not a chill, but diarrhea. And then additional data is showing more men dying from coronavirus than women. Now, this study comes directly out of China, involving 99 cases, found that two-thirds of those who died were men. At last check, Italy's case count, 3,400 fatalities. Don't have the breakout of gender on that report. Still another action taking place affecting you directly, whether or not you are going to be concerned about getting the virus yourself. Tax day. Deadline for filing taxes, April 15th, not this time. Because of the coronavirus outbreak and of individuals being urged, encouraged to stay home, and, of course, maybe trying to get everything done, tax day is now moved to July 15th. You can still file for refunds now. If you got it coming, you can still file, but you don't have to have your taxes done until July 15th. And, of course, the money is supposedly going to be going out in a matter of weeks based off of the stimulus package for individuals. And they are talking about, at last report still, up to $3,000 for a family of four, $1,000 to $1,200 to $1,500 for adults, $400 to $500 for children. Of course, if you recall, former 2020 Democrat presidential hopeful Andrew Yang had always been proposing the way to help America is give everyone $1,000. Yeah, this isn't the idea of giving everyone $1,000. This is helping make up for lost wages and those who are losing jobs and are stressed out and have additional problems because of the coronavirus. But Yang also announced that his new nonprofit would distribute $1,000 in cash to 1,000 working households in New York. In other words, $1 million. California, of course, today, word was as they woke up, you're under a lockdown. The governor of California issuing an order that if you're not an essential employee, for any kind of business or an essential business, stay home. One of those not on the list of ordered to stay home, the cannabis dispensaries. They're still allowed to be open and business as usual. If you got them, smoke them. Oh, and here's a piece of news that is absolutely lost in the midst of this. Tom Brady has signed with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I don't know where else you're going to hear that. That news has been basically buried. But isn't Brady on one of the Corona beer commercials? We're sitting on the beach holding up a Corona beer at one point. Am I wrong about that? Maybe it's not Brady. But maybe that's what he needs to do to get himself back in the news. Get on a beach, get a bottle of Corona with a lime in it, and break the story.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
COVID-19 is a new health concern, but Wellington Environmental has 30 years experience to make your company and environment safe. Wellington Environmental can give you peace of mind, and the cost is very reasonable. These days, you can't take a chance that customers, employees, your family would be exposed to COVID-19. You have to be proactive. That starts by calling Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. You'll quickly see why customers have relied on Wellington Environmental for decades. COVID-19 can survive for hours on your furniture, your computers, your equipment, and every time someone touches that surface, they could be exposed. You don't want that liability. Call Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental. This segment of Larry Connors USA is brought to you by my friends at John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest prices. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
You should have closed your windows and got another dog. You should have chained up all the doors and switched up all the locks.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Why do you keep calling this the Chinese virus? There are reports of dozens of incidents of bias against Chinese Americans in this country. Your own aide, Secretary Azar, says he does not use this term. He says ethnicity does not cause the virus. Why do you keep using this?
Because it comes from China.
Racist.
It's not racist at all, no, not at all. It comes from China. That's why. It comes from China.
I get a laugh every time I hear him say, it comes from China. China. Got it? China. I'm replaying that from an event that took place at the White House yesterday, or maybe the day before. Because as we dealt with it yesterday, I thought, well, they're finally going to let it go. He made it clear. I'm doing it because it came from China. I want you to stop and ask yourself, or ask some of your liberal friends who think this is racist, because that's what they're trying to say again, is that Trump is still racist. If this disease had originated in San Francisco, let me do it correctly so I don't offend some folks, but that's what they've done to that city. They turned it into one of those asshole countries the president's talked about previously because they allow the homeless to defecate and urinate everywhere. And now suddenly they're worried they have an emergency crisis, as if they didn't have a health crisis prior to that time. Aside from that, Larry, get back to the point. Yes, thank you. Listen, this mind is hard to control. I do have one. I don't care if it's smaller than yours. I do have one. And on top of that, I got the radio show, so I can say what I want. Oh, you're going to turn it off? Oh, you're going to turn it off? Oh, well, I can't help that. But here's where I was going. Let's say this disease came out of San Francisco. It would be labeled the San Francisco virus, would it not? Oh, that's a stupid question, Larry. The answer is yes. So then why do we have so much concern and issues over the origin of this virus being mentioned by the president? Yes, you can call it COVID-19. When they decided to take that name and add it on, they were just trying to be more specific and identify it. And that might be because there might be another Chinese virus down the road. But let's take a look at how this latest blow-up is happening. It happened on MSNBC this time. Is that right? Or CNN? Let me see. Yeah, it's MSNBC. They have a network political analyst, John Heilman. And he's got a panel there he's talking to. And he phrases a question, one of these questions, directed to a panel member who is a New York Times White House correspondent, Peter Baker. Now, John Heilman, the way he phrases the question, he's already answered. He doesn't need to hear from the other one. He's from CNN. Quentin Selman is from CNN. Thank you. I like to be accurate. But Heilman, in asking this question, listen, let me put it this way. If you were a true, authentic journalist, which he's not, he's an analyst, so he can do commentary and do things he wants and ask the way he wants. So he's not even purporting to be a journalist. But the New York Times White House correspondent is supposed to be a journalist and treat things fairly. But Heilman sets up his question. And the way he does it, he's not simply asking a journalistic type question. He's already set the platform. This is what you might see in some of your old court movies. Leading the witness. Here we go.
The president says, no, this is not racist at all, when of course it's nakedly racist and obviously racist and blatantly racist. I ask you, is this not the most predictable thing in the world, that for Donald Trump it wouldn't be enough to go to war against a virus? He would be all the better if the war could be waged against a virus that he can pin on a non-white population and pin on a population and a country that is one of our economic adversaries, that plays right down the middle of his kind of xenophobic populist foreign policy. This kind of seems like a golden opportunity for it to play, take a rip a page out of the Trump political playbook and just apply it to this pandemic by creating the Chinese virus.
Huh. Was there a question in there? Yeah, it was. There were several. They're all kind of buried in there, but they all play together well. You know, he's talking to another liberal. He said, I got it. Make all your points, spin all the wheels, and then when the roulette wheel does come to a stop, then I'll jump on. What Heilman did again, here's his statement. The president says, no, I tell you what, let's do that again, and let's run it again, Quentin, and I'm going to give you stop downs. All right, let's hear him again. Let's hear how he poses a question with, and you tell me, do you think he's putting any bias into the way he poses the question? Here we go.
The president says, no, this is not racist at all, when, of course, it's nakedly racist and obviously racist and blatantly racist.
Well, there you go. Well, didn't you just ask, is it racist? And the president says, yes, it's nakedly racist. He's already answered the question himself. Here we go, another part.
I ask you, is this not the most predictable thing in the world, that for Donald Trump it wouldn't be enough to go to war against a virus? He would be all the better if the war could be waged against a virus that he can pin on a non-white population.
There we go. A non-white population. See, slipping that racism in there again. And he continues.
And pin on a population and a country that is one of our economic adversaries, that plays right down the middle of his kind of xenophobic populist foreign policy.
Period. A question mark, but period. And he said one of our economic adversaries. That's a key point. That's a key point, by the way. China is an economic adversary. We work with them, but they are an adversary, and they are an adversary when it comes to freedom. but plays down the middle of his sort of xenophobic, populist, foreign policy. That's the way he phrased it. And then here comes the rest of the, finally, the end of the question.
This kind of seems like a golden opportunity for it to play, take a rip a page out of the Trump political playbook and just apply it to this pandemic by creating the Chinese virus.
There you go. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. We got so much covered in that question. Well, now, we do need an answer, don't we? Before we get to the answer, I want to remind you of something fact-wise. The World Health Organization, on January the 14th, repeated claims from China that the coronavirus was not contagious among humans. The Chinese were lying. They knew it was transmitted human to human because some of their own lab workers and doctors were getting sick. They did not eat the bat or the snake or whatever they're trying to blame it on, but they picked it up by dealing with those who already had it. Transmitted easily, quickly. And the Chinese government ordered the labs to destroy all of the evidence so then they could tell the World Health Organization, we ruled out a number of causes and we're continuing to work on the cause, but it is not passed person to person. That was the story the World Health Organization did. Now this adversary was trying to hide what was going on. So I don't take a great deal of claim. I don't care if you want to claim and shout racist or not. I don't. My concern is they were lying to the nation, to their own people, then to the world and us. And we would have been caught totally unaware if President Trump had not decided, you know, shut down the connections to China right now. And, of course, that became another cry from Biden talking about the travel ban Trump put on in January. Biden said it's hysterical and racist. And Sanders said that Trump needs to be replaced by experts. He doesn't know what he's doing. So those things are all taking place in the background before we get to these long-winded rhetorical monolithic question from John Heilman to New York Times White House correspondent Peter Baker. Now, again, I will give Heilman a pass in the sense he's not posing as a news journalist, as Jim Acosta does. He is labeled a political analyst, so he's going to speak his mind. And his question included his mind thoughts that this is racist, blatantly racist. But still, he's talking to a correspondent for the New York Times White House. And the last question, if you want to find one question that you can jump into the answer is, he's talking to White House correspondent Peter Baker saying, so this kind of seems like a golden opportunity to rip a page out of the Trump political playbook and just apply it to this pandemic by creating the Chinese virus. Answer.
I think it goes to two aspects that we've seen over the last 3 years of the Trump presidency. One, of course, is that there are threats outside of our borders, and therefore we need to close them as much as we can, whether it be, drug dealers and rapists and criminals and gang members, and now, of course, disease. And defying as a foreign threat is fits right into that worldview. The idea that America is surrounded by enemies and we need to wall ourselves off to some extent to protect ourselves. It also fits into his desire at this point to make clear to the American people that this is not his fault, right? That he is not to be blamed for this. This is, in fact, to be blamed on the China.
Stop it. It's not his fault. Is he saying that Trump is trying to make it clear you understand it's not his fault? So what if he is? Is Trump responsible? Let's go back into that. I don't know if you can back it up just a little bit to when he says that. I just came unglued. I stood up in the chair looking for something to throw. Here we go again.
His desire at this point to make clear to the American people that this is not his fault.
Right? Dog it. Of course it's not his fault. All right, I'm sorry. Let's continue.
Right, that he is not to be blamed for this. This is, in fact, to be blamed on the Chinese, to be blamed on foreigners, that it's not about anything he did or didn't do. It's about one of our overseas adversaries.
Well, yes, that's right. It's the Chinese or the others or the foreigners, and it is. When he used the phrase previously, a foreign virus, Trump was assailed then for being xenophobic and racist because he used the word foreign. Okay, let's narrow it down because it's not out of Europe, it's not out of Germany, it's not out of Russia, it's out of China. Let's say the Chinese virus instead of a foreign virus. So then when he gets specific and nails it down, oh no, no, you can't do that either because you're attacking a people of color. He's attacking the origin of the disease, not the people. But we have every right, by the way, to attack the leadership of those people because they lied to us and the world, saying it's not passed person to person when they knew it was. And they lied to the World Health Organization, which in turn lied to us, maybe unknowingly. Or just didn't care. This president said in January, shut down those flights. And former Vice President Biden said, that's racist that you're stopping flights from China. Has Biden offered to go into Wuhan, China himself and just go walk around the markets? I don't think so. No, they're not going to let go. They're going to continue to call it racist simply because it's there. But if it came out of Dallas, Texas, I'd have to tell you, I would be reporting it as the Dallas virus. No, I don't have to do that. I'm a Texan. I can say, that's you're picking on me. I'm not going to allow that. I got something else to tell you.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
Red Fitness Lounge in Clayton sponsors this segment. Red Fitness Lounge, redefining exercise, changing how you think and look at fitness, one client at a time. I'll see you at Red Fitness Lounge. Get details at redfitnesslounge.com. Redfitnesslounge.com.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
By the way, I've been looking to see if there's any connection, any development, any added part to the story of another issue that involved the White House and Chinese virus and use of the term that it's slanderous, racist. As I told you yesterday, there is a CBS reporter with an Asian name. I think it's Weijia Jian. I might be mispronouncing it. Not intending to, but she was claiming in a tweet that a White House official had called the virus the Kung Flu. The Kung Flu. And so that got raised as a question at the White House news conference. Said, I had an official tell me Kung Fu. Wonder what they're calling it behind our back. Well, the president asked the reporter, won't you repeat that phrase again and then tell us who said it? Well, I didn't get the name. White House advisor Kellyanne Conway took a more combative tone with that reporter, said using the phrase Kung Flu obviously wrong, but I'm not going to engage in a hypothetical. Who in the White House said that to you? And the reporter said, well, I don't know. I didn't get a name. Really? She said, well, you know, you understand how these conversations go. Kellyanne Conway said, no, I don't know how they go. It's highly offensive, so you should tell us who it is. You want my guess? It's more than a guess. It's a firm belief. She made it up. She made it up because she thought it would get her some points and get her some additional attention because she knew Kung Flu would be considered racist. Oh, yeah, they'll plot. They'll manufacture, create lies and stories and build a whole narrative around it. All right, where are we going on treating with the virus? There is a combination of anti-malarial medication and antibiotics, they say, that could shorten the life of COVID-19 or the Chinese virus. Our Surgeon General, Dr. Jerome Adams, says we're working
Right now, there is not a big fear that the virus is mutating. That said, we're learning each and every day. What we are seeing is the virus is playing out differently in different populations based on their mitigation efforts, based on their access to health care, and based on who is getting sick. Right. So, for instance, in South Korea, they had a much younger population of people getting sick. In Italy, they had a much older population of people getting sick, and that's why you're seeing more deaths, I believe, over 400 just in the last 24 hours.
But as the Surgeon General says, we don't think it's mutating, but as we begin to look at the deaths closer and those who have been stricken, we're learning more about it. I pointed out to you in news and commentary that in one case, it's been found that more men are dying of it than women. By the way, an NBC News staffer who worked at the equipment room has come down with the virus and died after contracting it. That word coming from the NBC News outlet chairman, Andy Lack. This guy was a veteran for NBC News, had been an audio technician for 25 years, left the network headquarters a week ago, didn't feel well, and tested positive later. So now, of course, they're checking everybody else inside NBC he was in contact with. If there's a vaccine, would you take it? Would you want your child to take it at this point? We're going to take a break, come back with a woman who has fought long and hard against vaccines. Please stand by.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Hi, I'm local tax attorney Lance Drury, and I've represented hundreds of individuals and small businesses in disputes with the IRS. So if you've been contacted for past due tax debt or haven't filed taxes in a while, contact me, Lance Drury. And because each client's case is unique, we'll meet face-to-face and go over your tax situation in detail. Together, we'll develop a strategy to resolve your tax issues. I'm experienced, I know your rights, and I'll give you honest answers. Under my 8-point plan, my firm will file the necessary forms needed to resolve your issue with the IRS, and you won't have to worry about talking to their agents. I'll negotiate on your behalf to get you the lowest settlement allowed by law. At the Lance Drury Law Firm, we want to make sure that you're satisfied with the outcome. So call me now, tax resolution attorney Lance Drury, 314-238-7360, or go to LanceDrurylaw.com.
The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
The list of credentials for my next guest, pretty extensive. Vice President for the Foundation for Pediatric Health, co-founder of the American Chiropractic Autism Board, helped manage Hope for Autism, Director of Vaccine Research and Education for Michigan for Vaccine Choice, on the Board of Directors for WAVE, World Association for Vaccine Education. Mary Tocco, glad to have you on board.
Thank you, Larry. Wonderful to be with you here today.
Well, we want to get into, obviously, in the light of the coronavirus and everything going around, one of the first questions folks come up with, so we don't see this happen again, would we have a vaccine? Should we have a vaccine? Why are you so... I'm just going to stop it there. You go ahead. You got some thoughts. You go ahead.
Well, the first thing is, all drugs should go through a proper approval process and approval and testing method. A normal medication can take anywhere from 8 to 10 years to get approved by the FDA. For some reason, vaccinations completely defy all the science around this. And the thought of having a vaccine within months with a novel virus that we've never seen before really is very scary to me. I do not feel confident or that anybody can come up with a vaccine for universal use that is going to promote an immune system that is going to be able to fight this in the future. I'm just very, very suspect because the process that they're going through just it defies all science.
Well, let's break this down so folks have an understanding. We're talking about, one, a vaccine you would take to prevent you from getting it, and then once you got it, what kind of meds? And right now, that's where we are. They're working on a combination of anti-malarial medication, antibiotics, and they're not have not been directed for something like this before. But the president has taken the attitude that we need to take some of these restrictions off. We need to allow patients to make a decision. Like, I know it's not tested for this, hasn't been proven, but I think I want it. Give it to me. You think we should be doing that more in the nation?
I think ultimately the choice is ours. Personally, I would rather take my risk by promoting my health and building my immune system and not necessarily living in fear, because this is just one virus. There are literally 200 viruses that look like the flu, act like the flu, and feel like the flu. And so my approach has always been, let's focus on promoting your immune system, promoting health. And that's where my book, which I just recently published, Natural Immune Development, A Deeper Understanding of Our Immune System, to help people understand how to support the immune system so that you can live confidently instead of living in fear and looking for some special injection or pill to help fix us when we are sick.
Well, you do nail a point that I want to reemphasize for the audience. We've had 280,000 cases reported around the world, 10,000 deaths in the U.S., 150 some odd deaths. Doesn't mean any death is a loss, but at this point in this country, we seem to be ahead of it, and every year we have flu take 12 to 50,000 a year.
Yes, more people die from the flu annually. In fact, more people die from tuberculosis than they do the coronavirus, so there are many other things that are what I consider more deadly or more threatening to our country.
I'm sorry.
I don't want to underestimate the fact that this is new. We've never really in this country dealt with this particular virus in the past. I do believe, based on my research, that it was made in a laboratory. This is not your average coronavirus that is common in colds. This is one that carries a vector within it that can only come out of a laboratory. And from what I understand, based on the latest, that it is actually a combination of snake and bat coronavirus. So it's a very unique virus. That's what makes it so unpredictable and untrustworthy.
And because, it's been so rampant, and the fear, all the publicity, the concern, do you think this might be a rush to judgment to come up with a vaccine without having, in other words, start shortcutting some of the procedures to get a vaccine to market?
I really do. In fact, England, which is so interesting, England has opted to not treat this and not panic. They are actually, everything is normal in England. Their thoughts are, let's just let herd immunity handle this. And what that means is they're predicting about 70,000 people will get the illness and majority of them will recover. The majority of people that recover is amazing. The death rate is so minuscule that, like I said, England has decided to not approach this as a pandemic and to just let it run its course, knowing that next year at this time, people will have built a natural immunity to it, and very few people really die from this. And as you know, they say that the people that do die from it are the immune compromised. My message is, the opposite of immune compromised is immune strong. So how do you strengthen our immune system? And that is by allowing it to work. When you allow your immune system to work as it was intended to, you actually are, it's like aerobics for the immune system. So nothing in the human body gets strengthened by trying to avoid it. It's only by overcoming challenges, and our immune system develops when it's in combat.
Well,
so unlike most people, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, folks who, I grew up in West Texas, and it was not uncommon if you got a rattlesnake bite, you know, you probably survived it, and you kind of began to develop some immunity to it. For guys that like to go out and catch rattlesnakes on a regular basis, they would often be bitten, and it wasn't as bad each and additional time. Same those folks right. who have stings, bee wasp, and so forth. You're listening, by the way, to Mary Tocco again, who is has a new book out, Natural Immune Development, and we're talking about reference to coronavirus, how it fits in with vaccines. But let's deal with the past of what we do know about previous vaccine concerns. Why you pretty much just put your foot down, say no vaccine for kids?
Absolutely, and I'll tell you why. Never before in the history of humanity have we vaccinated children so early. Right now, the average child will get 36 to 42 by the time they're 18 months old. These vaccines are fast-tracked, just like this one they're talking about with the coronavirus. They do not go through the proper safety studies. There are no double-blind placebo tests being done on vaccines. They defy every bit of pharmacological reasoning. And so I am not one who advocates for vaccinations.
Well, what are the numbers reference those who are vaccinated who don't get the diseases and are doing just fine versus serious illness or fatalities?
Well, I have been involved in this now for over 40 years. I've been speaking publicly, internationally, radio, you name it.
Right.
And I have met thousands and thousands of people over the years who say my children have not been vaccinated and they are healthy. They don't have asthma. They don't have diabetes. They don't have seizures. They don't have learning disabilities. They don't have autism. They don't have Crohn's and gut disease. So we've never done a study, which I have been screaming for years, that looks at the unvaccinated versus the vaccinated. But in my personal experience, with people all over the world, not just the United States, the unvaccinated children are far healthier and have less incidence of diseases. There have been a couple other countries who have done these studies, and they validate what I believe, and that is when you allow the immune system to work like God intended it, then you will have a strong immune system and be able to address problems more appropriately.
Well, another part of this dilemma is from the day they're born, especially after they are no longer being breastfed, if ever, foods and what's in the food that they get and how that affects immune systems.
Right. I believe that we need to get back to the basics. I totally support a natural vaginal delivery because that plays a huge role in turning the immune system on of these babies. I'm a big advocate for breastfeeding. The first milk that a baby gets is called colostrum, and we know there's a lot to do with the gut now, that the gut health and the immune system have a lot to do with how a baby's born and how they're fed the first years of life. So, and I go into all of this on my website, Larry. I have articles that will help educate and inform young parents, you know, how do we do this so that our children have the best opportunity for health.
And we can get that website. That's at childhoodshots.com. Is that right?
Yes. Yes, childhoodshots.com. And I have a Facebook page. I also, of course, have Twitter under my name, Mary Toko. But, Larry, I believe we need to get back to the basics. And the question I want to pose out there for people that really believe in vaccinations is, American children get more vaccines than any other country in the world. Our children start seeing a pediatrician every 2 months the first years of life. If our children are getting more vaccines than everyone else, why are they suffering with severe chronic illness? And right now, 54% of American children under the age of 18 are suffering with a chronic condition that requires medication. And that includes obesity.
And that's a great question. I mean, obviously, that's
exactly.
Very big. Well, listen, we're up against the clock. I want to thank you again. The website is childhoodshots.com. You can learn more about Mary Toko,
okay.
Or you can Google it and find out as well. And, of course, those who are listening and want to share this with someone else, it'll be up on our podcast at Larry Connors USA Facebook shortly after we finish the program. Mary, thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you, Larry. I appreciate it. God bless. Bye-bye.
Mary Toko. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, there's been a concern in the beginning with this coronavirus. It was laughable and folks making fun, and they still do make fun of it. But behind it is a crime. But I think we may have solved the crime of the missing toilet paper. Please stand by.
You can follow Larry on Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
When a is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Well, I want to share something with you. Last night, because of staying home, pulling up things on movies I had not seen. I don't know how I'd miss this one. It's a 2006 American film titled Lonely Hearts. It's kind of one of these 40s type crime dramas and so forth, featuring John Travolta, James Gandolfini, Scott Kahn is in there, James Kahn's son. Looks just like him. Acts like him on there. Laura Dern and Selma Hayek. Oh, I could watch forever watching Selma Hayek. But I got to tell you something. I would not want to be in the room with that woman in the future after watching that movie. The character she portrays in that movie, talk about a black widow. This woman and the things she does in this movie, Lonely Hearts is a title, 2006, and she looks beautiful, but she is, I never would have thought she would do something like this. I mean, she was always so sweet and beautiful and lovely and someone you'd want to kind of get close to, and not anymore. But what it reminded me of is movies of that genre also, and prior to that time, going back to the days of Prohibition, you know, the old gumshoe detectives, everybody in the feds and Elliot Ness, all of them trying to run down and stop the smuggling of Canadian rum coming across from Canada into our U.S. when we were dealing with Prohibition in this country. And, of course, the smuggling of alcohol did not end with the repeal of Prohibition. In fact, they say in the Appalachian areas the demand for moonshine is still at a pretty big high. And, in fact, the state of Virginia reports it loses $20 million a year from illegal whiskey smuggling. Now, there's no whiskey smuggling and bootlegging like that in that movie I was telling you about. But it all comes, it just brings to mind that time set. Which brings us to current day. You've seen, if you watched any of these Al Capone-type movies, Elliot Ness, when they go busting up the stills and they go chasing the trucks down, and of course other rival gangsters are hijacking the trucks as they're coming across, grabbing them in the dark of night, probably shooting the drivers and those on board to protect the load, and then they take the load for themselves. I mean, it's no honor among thieves. If you can steal from the other thief, put him out of business, and you take his cargo and you make money on it, well, why not? And if you're looking for lately things to bootleg, it's not marijuana anymore. That's not a big deal. You're not supposed to take it from one state to another where they don't have it. But that's not going to be that big of a deal when you get down to it. Yeah, some of the harder drugs, yeah, they're looking for that all the time. Yeah, illegally made alcohol or not properly stamped and taxed, and cigarettes, that's still an active item of bootlegging. But nowadays, the biggest crisis, the biggest thing, the thing that folks say we can't get enough of, you've seen the pictures, maybe you've seen them yourself. You walk into the grocery store, and you go right down the corner where it normally is, and the shelves are empty. You don't have any toilet paper in this place? No, we're sold out. When are you going to get some in? We just got a load this morning. Well, when are you going to put it on the shelves? We did. It's gone. And how many out there, I'm going to be honest, how many of you have a place of business? Maybe you're stealing from the business right now. Are you going into different restaurants at service stations and ripping off as much as you can? I'm not accusing you. I'm just asking. And if you hadn't thought of it, don't say I gave you the idea. In North Carolina, troopers started watching this truck go down the road. A tractor-trailer rig. And for some reason, the driver and the tractor-trailer just kind of drew some suspicion. It's on Interstate 40 in North Carolina. So troopers began to follow it. And eventually, it ends up stopping just a short distance off a highway. And by now, they've run the tags on the trailer. And if the tags go with that trailer, the trailer's stolen. So you know what they do then. Call in enforcements. Surround the truck. Get the driver out. Face down. Hands behind your back. Assume the position. All right, now, open up this rear of this tractor trailer rig. And when they open it up, we have solved the theft of the toilet paper. They found 18,000 pounds of paper on board. In addition to toilet paper, some paper towels and other paper products. Just in case they couldn't get enough toilet paper, napkins and things of that nature. But we've solved it. It has been found in North Carolina. Well, at least that load of stolen toilet paper has been found. The rest of it? Watch some of those trucks going down the highway. Do they look like they're sitting a little lower than they should? I'm just asking. As always, I appreciate you joining us. Time for the weekend. Hope you enjoy your weekend. Stay safe. Back Monday. Book it.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.